This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans, and welcome to this Thursday morning rainy day edition, rained out home opener edition. I'm going to keep coming up with names until I find one that talks about my crushing feeling of opening day not happening today. Whatever it is, it's a rainy day edition of your Two Birds on a Bat St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. I hope that was humdrum enough for everybody out there that wants the rain to go away. But hey, coming to you from the patio studios, and I knew I screwed us when I said, I sure hope we don't have to go to patios Thursday because it's raining outside and we want to be inside. But God darn it, maybe if I'd have walked around with an umbrella, we wouldn't have got rained up, but we did. But hey, just like the mighty Casey found out, there is baseball for another day. We will have opening day on Friday, and I will be there with bells on and ready to go. Now, I will say this. With every rainstorm comes a blooming flower. And as I'm getting all philosophical on you guys today, the blooming flower today is, it's going to be a great day here at Two Birds on a Bat Cardinal Podcast, because we get to go in studio with everybody's favorite as he's in town. He's going to be in town a lot more. Let's welcome in on the m4byyachty.com celebrity microphone this time, Benji Molina.
How you guys doing? I'm excited, Jimbo and Steve-O. I'm excited to be here with you guys, man. And I got a tour of the studio, man.
Pretty cool, huh?
This is pretty awesome.
Big time. See, when we associate with big time people. Hey, when we associate with big time people, we got to become big time. How do you like the bar area and the entertainment area? Pretty cool.
Oh, no, that was awesome.
Yeah, going to be cool.
Seriously, that was pretty cool. A hangout place. You got a couple TVs there with a bunch of games on and beer,
and
water, everything.
And boy, hey, listen.
And chips. Hey, I saw chips.
Yeah, chips. Everything you need. And hey, no surprise, look who's in studio with us. The one, the only, Steve Flowers.
Hey, he wanted a new studio to come over. So he got the new studio.
Oh, for sure. That was in my contract. But Jimbo, let's make sure everybody's aware how this all went down yesterday. As you know, I was under the weather. I did not want to be an Ozuna late scratch for opening day, so I simply made a call to Bill DeWitt. I said, Bill, we have to push the game. Give me one more day's rest. I'll be ready to go on Friday. So they simply made the call before any rainstorm, before anything. They want to give everybody plenty of time. I believe that was for me.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I know the Cardinals want you to get healthy.
They do.
I know they do.
They want your
Philly cheesesteak. Yeah.
Now listen. Here's the deal.
They cannot make payroll without my Philly cheesesteak order.
So I'm not complaining, because we're going to have a fun-filled day, right? I mean, we're going to make the best of a bad situation, right? And we are altering our plans. We had plans. Plans change. So today, it's in studio, of course, with everybody's favorite STL Cards broadcaster, Benji Molina. When we're done here, we're going to head straight to Adam's Smokehouse and have the best barbecue in St. Louis with our friend Mike. Our friend Randy Green is going to meet us. We haven't seen Randy, and I haven't seen him in a week. Some of you guys haven't seen him in a little bit. But InnovativeCompanies.com owner Randy Green going to be meeting us for lunch today. We're excited about seeing Randy.
Can you remind me to talk to him about my heating and cooling system? I think he does that, doesn't he?
He might.
I got a little heating issue, and I might have a little cooling issue.
you've definitely got a cooling issue. But that being said, if you have a construction issue, heating and cooling, you might have an electric issue as well. Let's see, residential, commercial, industrial. You, Emily still lets you sleep in the house. I think you fall into the residential. But he's got you covered.
The basement.
Basement, right. Is that residential? Yeah,
that is.
Randy Green's got you covered. InnovativeCompanies.com. I enjoy Randy's company very much. He will be joining us for our opening day trip, and he's going to join us for lunch today. So I'm excited about that. But yes, Adam's Smokehouse, we're on our way, heading over to Watson Road. They are open till 7, but I think we'll be there probably from like 12 to 1-ish.
This is going to be a short show, right?
Yes, it will be a short show because I'm hungry. By the
way, I am down 8 pounds in the last 3 days.
Well, you're going to be up 2.
Most likely.
So a net up 10 after today, a net gain of 2. All right. So, hey, we're excited about today. But, okay, let's get right into it. Are we excited? I mean, this is going to sound crazy. After watching the St. Louis Cardinals through 6 games, should we be happy we're 3-3? I mean, I feel like, you know what? We haven't played well at all, and we're 3-3.
You know what I look at, Jim, and I was thinking about this, is it seems like we're playing to our competition's level. Every game we've played, I think, has been pretty close. And it seems like if we've been up early, all of a sudden we're letting teams get back into it. If we get down early, we're fighting and clawing back into it. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but I would really like to see us get out there and just announce our presence with authority, a la Nuke Lelouch.
Okay. Benji?
I think it will happen. I think eventually the guys are going to get – oh, and remember, we have the top 5 guys that has been really – well, Goldsmith has been hitting pretty good, but other than Goldsmith, everybody has been pretty quiet, you know, so far. So you imagine – The 7 and 8 batter is holding up to us, is holding us on. So when those 5 guys catch fire, man, and they can carry a team easy, very easily, and then with the pitching that we have, we will not have trouble winning games. I mean, this could happen. I'm happy with the 3-3. I didn't like the series in Milwaukee. I thought we could have done better, obviously, but that's done. You know, you can do nothing about it now. You can just learn. But once these 5 guys without Goldsmith, because I think he's swinging the bat pretty good, but those older 4 guys catch fire, man. This team can take off.
Let me ask you a question, both of you. I want to get both your opinions on it. Steve, I'll start with you. Do we not take Milwaukee serious enough? Did you ever notice that? Like, anytime somebody talks about Milwaukee, it's almost like Cardinal fans want to find what they think is either wrong or inferior about Milwaukee. Like right now, if you talk about the Milwaukee Brewers, what does a typical fan say? A typical fan goes, they don't have any pitching. They don't have any starting pitching. That's the number one thing. I guess where I'm going is, do we not take them serious enough? We should, but do we not?
I don't think so. I think you always look at it and you prioritize it. And when was the last time we had a real Milwaukee? I mean, I know we've had some rivalries throughout the years, but really it's been Cubs. We've had a lot of Pirate stuff, you know, some Cincinnati back and forth. But has there really been that bloodbath rivalry? So I think we always look at, ho-hum Milwaukee. And they got a really good ball club.
Well, so my comparison, and then I'll go to Benji and get his thoughts. You know, I would say this. When I worked at AB, everybody was worried about Miller Lite. And I used to tell them, you better be worried about Coors Light. Right now, it seems like everybody's worried about the Cubs. You better be worried about Milwaukee is kind of where I'm going with this. Like, I'm not saying the Cubs are yesterday's news. I understand what was going on. But look at the up-and-comer and the person that's here to stay. And that's how I feel about Milwaukee. Am I wrong, Benji?
No, you're not wrong, man. I think you're 100% right. We need to pay attention to the Milwaukee Brewers. And I said it before in the shows, you know, I've been saying it. You know, they have a great bullpen. They found that lefty kid, Hader, and they found that Jeffress guy that, you know, with those 2 guys, plus the guys that have been there doing their job. But we got a break on Knievel, whatever his name is. He's probably out for the year. But, man, though, we need to take them seriously. I think they have a really, really good team with good players, and they know how to win now. They found that way to win. So we need to take them serious.
You know, it's almost that, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong or crazy, which I'm sure you will. It's almost like when, if a team doesn't have that name on the mound, that like don't go, it's like, oh, well, you know, they don't have any pitching. Well, all they've got is a couple guys that have pitched well for them, right? Now,
and the main thing is that they win.
Well, I was going to say, at times, and I would agree, it isn't like their starting staff is great or has been great. But what they have done is found a way to win. And I can tell you that while some of these a couple of these last two Cardinal wins aren't like textbook wins. They're not as fans what we want to see. And I'm not even saying the players would say, oh, I'd much rather win that way. But I promise you, when a team fights back, claws back, maybe blows it and then finds a way to get it back and pick a teammate up. Benji, am I crazy in thinking that also is good for a team to show that they have that fight?
That is great, man. That gets everybody together. That gets the chemistry of the team high. It is awesome. Every time you can win walk-off wins and or late wins or comeback wins, doesn't matter how you win, but it gets the team spirit and it gets the chemistry up, man. I mean, last year I think we had a bunch of walk-off game or a walk-off wins, and I mean that put the team so unite. So it does help. It does help a lot.
You know, Steve-O, would you say that you could, after six games, form any type of opinion on the Cardinals? Honestly, like, are you looking at this going, man, I really thought this was going to be better, or I thought this or that? I mean, can you realistically, as a fan that knows enough to be dangerous, can you tell me that you can realistically form any type of opinion on this at this juncture?
Yeah, I'll form an opinion.
Okay.
It's going to take me back to 1985 and the Cardiac Cardinals.
Oh, boy.
Because it's going to be late inning heroics or maybe even demises. It just seems like, I mean, we're six games in. It seems like every game has been that way. So get used to it, fans. It's exciting baseball. It's going to be hard on the heart, though. But that's what I really feel like. I really feel like we're going to be playing to our competition level, which is good from the standpoint of bring me the best teams out there in baseball. I feel confident we can play with them. But I'm also nervous when we face the worst teams in baseball that we're going to play down to that level.
Yeah, and it's right. You're right, Steve. I think it's really hard to say what we got to get in six games. But you're right. I think that's what they've shown us so far. We saw that the five starter, you know, the fifth starter, we saw what we've been discussing. He's going to give you four or five, and then you have to unload the bullpen. And then we need better starts from Michael, better start from Flaherty, and things like that. You know, that's what they've shown us so far. But these guys will pick it up. You'll see tomorrow Flaherty will be excited for the home opener. I mean, we'll have a great Flaherty, you know, and who knows, maybe coming back home, get them going, you know. They're gonna have a tough task, man. I mean, San Diego is not an easy team by any means. But after that, it comes the Dodgers with good pitching. So it's gonna be great, man.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be a great day. We're gonna talk a little bit more about what we foresee for the St. Louis Cardinals. I think we can all agree to this point. As I said, I think it's pretty simple. We're 500, and I don't think we've played well at all. I think we've had a couple of stretches where we look pretty good. Like I said, it's hard to not look at Paul Goldschmidt when he hits three home runs in a game and go, that guy's pretty good, right? We've had a couple other instances with things that have happened that have been pretty well, and you look at it and go, that's pretty good. But I think as a whole, six games in, I think if you were to look back and look at the highs and lows of the six games and you were to say, you know what, you're 3-3, and you guess what? Start your season tomorrow at home in front of a Busch Stadium crowd that's ready to erupt. I think you take it. I really do. So
that's why you always say, I always said, and I always play with these, Jimbo and Steve-O, win today.
Right? Yep, that's always been your thing.
We should have won yesterday.
Or sure.
We have to win.
Well, you can't do anything tomorrow. About it.
I always play, and I actually have a baseball that I wrote when Socha said that in 2000. I still have that ball, and I wrote win today. It's like worry about today. So
sure.
3-3. You know that we could have done this, we could have done that, but we didn't. And now it's time to just say, hey, listen, let's win tomorrow. You know, let's win the next game.
Well, I'm excited. We're going to talk a little bit more about it here in just a second. Before I do, let's remind you to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. Folks, when you get there, our main ask of you there, please subscribe to the show. It's an easier way for us to track things. Means a lot to us for sure, but you can do numerous things at the website. One of the cool things now you can do is we're happy to have bloggers associated with us that are writing great content. We have a gentleman doing recaps of our shows. I'm looking forward to, I've asked him to be honest. I've said, hey, recap the show and then give your thoughts. And if you don't agree, you're not going to get a call from me or Steve-O. You might get one from Benji saying, hey, buddy, what's going on? Are you disagreeing with me? No, I'm just kidding. We would never do that. We want to have some fun with it. We're looking forward to introducing some of those bloggers to you throughout the year. Anything that we do, they'll be invited to. So it should be a lot of fun. But you guys can do that definitely through twobirdsonabat.com. Find us on social media, at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. If you guys are a Cardinal fan and follow us, we're going to follow you back. Facebook's always a big push for us. Type in Two Birds on a Bat. Make sure you've liked our page. Click invite your friends, please. You can invite them all, or you can go through your long list of friends and invite all your Cardinal crazy fans. Either way, we're just trying to get more people involved in the conversation. Another way you can help us with that is when you see our pinned post. Probably 9 times out of 10, that's going to be the show that we've currently done. We're going to ask you to like that post. Throw a quick comment on it. It can be just for fun, or you can really want to get engaged in conversation. There's a lot of people that are that love to do that. And then share it, most importantly. That's how we reach more Cardinal fans, and that gives us a chance to invite them into our group. Instagram, we're going to try to really build our Instagram account this year. We'd love for you to help us with that. Find us at Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. Follow us there. You can always find us in lineupmediagroup.fm, the house there, the house that Yo Radio's building. Like that Babe Ruth pun, like that. So anyway, Yo Radio, guys, newest streaming platform. Download it for free on your mobile device today. You guys are going to love it. I know I do, and it's great, great stuff, and happy to be a part of their growth. To our partners, spent some time with the guys over at Gators Baseball Academy yesterday. Guys, they got so many great things planned for your kids when it comes to their development in this wonderful game of baseball. They do a little bit with softball, located in Missouri, obviously, but now expanding in Illinois, and I'm proud to be associated with what they're doing over there.
I might bring a couple of my prospects over here.
I think so. We talked about that. You're going to bring them in town for the summer, but there's going to be great things going on there. And let me tell you, and I introduced Benji to the group over there because it's not just about what they're doing on the field. It's what they're doing off the field. They're trying to build really good young men and young ladies. Stuff near and dear to your heart, Benji. They're collecting, you know, there's so many people in this organization, and they have all this equipment sitting in their garage, and it goes unused, and it gets thrown away, and it goes, they're taking it over to Latin countries, and they're associating themselves with some of the great Cardinal guys that do this. They're a real quality organization. They're a class act. And if you're interested in helping your son or daughter get better, check out GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. You heard me mention earlier today, we'll be heading over to Adam's Smokehouse right after this. By the time this show comes out, we will have already been there. But I have invited anybody that wants to join us on Twitter. So I hope you joined us today. But if you didn't, make sure you get over to Adam's Smokehouse located on Watson Road and try some of the best barbecue in St. Louis. St. Louis, here's your cue. Guys, what do you think about, let's look at this. What do you think about opening day? Like, if I say opening day to you, Benji, I'm going to start with you on this one. Cardinals home opener, what's the first thought that goes through your mind?
Well, there's a bunch of thoughts, you know. Classic is one. Amazing is another one. The best is another one. All you can name out there. I think it's, I haven't seen an opening day more spectacular than this one. I mean, and I've been in a few teams.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you were kind of, really our relationship with you started when you did an opening day special for us when you and I were doing some stuff with the youth baseball stuff. The truth of the matter is, you talked about this that day, but I want to talk a little bit about it now because I'm curious. You had been in other opening days. You'd been in opening days as a starter, opening days after a World Series. Cities loved. You were a coach here. I got to ask you, because I think we as Cardinal fans truly believe that when somebody new to this team comes out under the wagon gate in that convertible or that truck and looks up, I think some of us do believe, but I know there's a large part of the fan base that wants to believe that that player is overwhelmed, he feels loved, he feels appreciated, and he says to himself, wow, Nobody does it like these people. Is any of that true?
It's very true, Jimbo. It doesn't mean that I only have opening days in my hometowns. I had opening day in Oakland. I had opening day in Pittsburgh. I had opening day in whatever, you know, in other stadiums. And they don't even compare one bit to what the Cardinals do, man. I mean, that day when I came out of that truck and I saw, like you just explained, and I look up and here I am. I'm a coach, right? I'm not a player. So I saw those guys and cheering, and obviously my brother's been here, so his last name was Name, and probably people didn't even know who I was, but they knew the last name, so they started cheering. I was amazed. And ever since then, I even told my brother, I said, I went to the clubhouse and I saw him and I said, hey, man, I never seen any opening days like this. This is probably the best. And he told me, he said, man, you got to love these fans. And we do love them. We respect them. That's why we love our city. And this is one of the reasons why I wanted you coaching here so you can experience it with me.
Yeah. Steve-O, I'll go to you first before I ask another question. What is the,
Well, I've only experienced Cardinals opening day.
That's true. I've never, yeah.
And you know, we haven't experienced anything else.
That's fair. I haven't thought about that. But we've seen them on TV.
We have, but
I've seen many of them. And I can tell you, Steve-O, they don't compare for real. Not because I'm here. I'm being honest. You know, if I had one that was great, I would have said it.
Well, wait a minute. Hang on. So real quick, before you go, to follow up on that, Benji, was the opening day the year after you won the World Series, was that not unbelievable, or was it just like any other opening day? I guess you can be honest, or you can sugarcoat it if you think you need to.
No. I'm being honest. I mean, they're all great. Don't get me wrong. But what comes after great? Special?
Sure.
Amazing? That's what these guys make it happen here. Okay, yeah. You know what I'm saying? They're all great. Obviously, you go to your team and you have your opening day. It's going to be great. Everybody's going to be excited for it. The flyovers and flags and all that stuff. But I really believe that these guys here in the Cardinal system, our boys take the cake, man. I really do believe it. Not because I'm here, but I'm just talking from the heart, man. I've been in so many of them. I've been in Chicago White Sox. I've been in, you name it, Seattle. I've been in everywhere. So, but I really do love the way they make it happen here with all those Hall of Famers out there shaking your hand. It's like greeting you to a great season, at least in a Cardinal uniform, in a Cardinal home field. They're greeting you and saying, hey, let's go get them. This jacket could be yours later or something like that. So it's really, really hard from the heart. You know, it's heartful to see this. I mean, I'm watching it from the top now doing the radio, and I get goosebumps every single time any player goes out and they go crazy for him. So just imagine how would you feel as a player, man. Wainwright, you know, Yadi, guys that have been here the longest.
Right.
You know?
Well, kudos to the DeWitts because they've built on a tradition that the Bush family started. Sure. And we all know that when the wagon gate would open and the Clydesdales would come through for special occasions, I mean, that was huge. And the DeWitts have taken it to a whole nother level. You know, and then building the Hall of Fame Museum and Ballpark Village. And they keep building on a tradition and making it.
It gets more fun involved. Well, yeah. More fans, right?
Exactly.
So let me ask you this. And here's the interesting thing. This is kind of a loaded question. This is a loaded question where I think the answer almost seems loaded, but I think it's okay. And that's this. I believe the Cardinals Hall of Fame, the way they do it now, was a direct result of them wanting to do something for Willie McGahee. I believe that in my heart because I think at that time, do you remember such an outcry from Cardinal fans that wanted Willie McGahee's number retired? Remember this?
Oh, yeah.
And the Cardinals stood fast and said, look, the standard is if you go into Hall of Fame and you had a career and was impactful as a Cardinal, your number gets retired. We know Willie's bull. We know this town loves him. I think of the love fest of Willie McGahee. He leaves. He comes back. He finishes his career here. The walk-off home. Remember that? I mean, it's just insane. I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about it. And it's like this fan base, I'm not going to say demanded, but they almost demanded,
You have to do something for Willie McGee. So I don't know who the person was that said, you know what? It's not just Willie McGee, but it is Willie McGee on the forefront. But there are other Cardinals who were great Cardinals who made a huge impact on a historic franchise that aren't going to get their due recognition. So I got an idea. Let's do this. And I don't know about you. And like I said, it sounds kind of like fabricated, but I don't care. It's okay by
but
me.
There's nothing wrong with that one.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
You know what I mean?
You know, Jim Edmonds is a perfect example. Same type of boat. Keith Hernandez, who's up this year, right?
And Jimmy was great before he came here.
Oh, yes. For sure.
So when he came over, nobody remembered Jimmy's years in Anaheim.
Right.
Nobody.
But you just got to think that it is a family. It's Cardinal Nation. And there is a love fest between, you know, the fans of St. Louis and the St. Louis Cardinal baseball team. And that's just what it is. And I pull no punches, man. Jim, you and I went to the All-Star game in 2009. If I never got another chance to go to an All-Star game again or Home Run Derby, I would be fine with it. I thought the event was blah. You know, it is what it is. It's something I wanted to go to, was on a bucket list, made it, but it wasn't something that I would go for again unless somebody's giving me free tickets, right?
But opening, was that game here?
Yeah, in 09. Okay. But opening day, buddy, there's nothing like it. You've got to go to opening day.
Yes.
There's thousands upon thousands, probably enough fans down there to fill four stadiums plus, right? And there's only, you know, a quarter of those people getting in. It's just a big party. I'm glad we're not going when it's raining out today. It'll be not, I don't think it's going to be sunny tomorrow, but it'll be a lot warmer and no rain. So it should be a great day. Looking forward to it. Like I said, it's just something about.
That's the first question I want to ask Goldie. Goldsmith,
yeah.
Like right after it. Like when he goes to the clubhouse or something like that, I will be the guy to be like, hey, man, what do you think?
Well, get in line because there's probably going to be 75 other reporters down there. And if we had press credentials,
hang on.
Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Well, we're looking right at him. I mean, he's going to make a call today. I'm ready if he's
ready. And then
ready.
We would be down there asking that question.
So here's the deal. That was where I was going with this.
Hey,
so go ahead. I was going to go to the two. So number one, let's start with the new guy, okay? I think we can all agree in this room that the ovation that he's going to get is going to be off the charts.
It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy.
Does Vegas do a line on who gets the biggest cheer out of everybody that comes through?
Probably.
Well, if they do, they'd have to have the applause-o-meter.
They're going to have to do something because between your Hall of Famers, Goldschmidt, McGee, Yachty.
But there's those few, right?
There's those few that
you're like, whoa.
There are some guys that'll just blow the lid off that stadium.
Yep. I am with you, man. But ever since I've been coming over here doing the games, it's been 4 years, and I coach. And I've been in so many opening days, man. Believe me, so many. I never had a chance to run up to the line because I was playing that game. I had to go to the bullpen. And I always said, man, I wish I could just, for once, just go out there and be part of that lineup that they say, hitting 7 or hitting 8, mm-hmm. Benji Molina, and then run out there and check out all your hand. You know, that's what I was thinking. I never got a chance to do that. So when I came over, I'm looking at everybody. Everybody's being named out, you know. And I'm like, wow, this is my one and only shot, man, as a coach. So, yeah, I did it, and I enjoy every bit of it. Man, I don't know if you guys watched the video. I shake hands. I didn't know what to do. Fist pumps and high lows. I was like, hey, spanking guys, let's go. You know, I was like a little kid, man. But I enjoyed it. And I think it's here. It's the top.
Do you remember, like, I mean, was there one guy that when you shook his hand and went through the line that you thought, holy cow, this is great?
We had many guys back then where the fans loved those guys.
I was talking about the Hall of Famers. Was there one guy that you're like, man, talk about greatness?
No, all of them.
All of them? No. You just look at it that way?
I had a chance to sit with Bruce Sutter. What a character, man. What a character.
Yeah, you don't hear as much about him, but yeah.
What a character, and what I mean by that is he fits the description of a Cardinal player big time. Hustler.
He gives 110%. If he pitched 3 days in a row, he's willing to pitch that fourth day, even if he's sore. I mean, like that, like heart knows guy. That's what he. I got the impression of talking to him, and everybody knows Bob Gibson, and Tony La Russa is a legend. Chendis, I don't know how to say his name.
That was That's pretty close.
That's it.
Yeah, but Chendis. Yeah,
Chendis, yeah, and he was awesome. Red was awesome. So all of those guys.
I'm assuming, though. The Aussie, way it typically Aussie, works.
Aussie's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
The things that Aussie does for this organization, people need to appreciate him more. I mean, I know they do, but, you know, he goes crazy for this organization.
So a couple things from your opening day, and, you know, the guy that gets now, and deservedly so, the guy that gets the ovation now is Yadi. But typically he's out in the outfield with the pitcher. So you probably didn't get to shake his hand because he was probably in the outfield. You didn't get to shake your own brother.
I shook his hand like four times before he went out, and I gave him like three or four hugs. Come on, bro. We got this.
You know, I had to look up, and I had a feeling it was right there because I remember, but Stan Musial died in 2013 before you, the year that you became the coach, but it would have been obviously a few months later.
That would have been awesome.
So, and plus his health didn't really allow him to attend stuff right at the end anyway. But I know you were around. People have seen pictures of you in town in 2011, celebrating with your brother, things like that. Did you ever get to sit down with Stan Musial?
No, I wish. That's what I said. Like,
did you ever even at least get to meet him?
No, I never.
Really?
I never. I saw him close, but he was talking to people, and I never had a chance to. I wish I did. Shook his hands, but he was busy talking to people.
Did his greatness, like, did you, I mean, you oh, got no, it, right?
Amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I wanted to go right next to him and rob him, you know,
yeah.
So, give me a couple home runs, those, you know. But these guys are awesome, man. Yeah. I haven't had a chance to talk to Bob Gibson yet, but that would be a guy that I would love to hear his thoughts on my own, you know, not the people telling me. But I talked to Red, I talked to Tony, I talked to Jim, Edmonds, Willie McGee. What a great group you guys have here, man. I mean, seriously, we do now because I'm part of them now. You know, I work for them, so for the Cardinals. So what a great honor, man. What a great honor. It's going to be a great day, win or lose, which we're fighting for the win, of course. But win or lose, opening day takes the cake, man.
Yeah, it'll be an – listen, I hate to say that I like opening day better than the playoffs because I don't, but it feels like an event, right? But Steve, you and I feel like have went to almost every playoff game together during that stretch, and we treated the playoffs the same way. Like I remember Benji, I'm telling you, when we first started hanging out.
Well, you guys are from here, man.
That's right.
Well, you guys grew up here. You should feel
well.
That.
You but know? I'm telling you, even Steve-O, who's a fanatic, will tell you, I think he thought I might be a little off my rocker because the first time we went to the playoffs, because I don't know if he remembers this or not, but, you know, we had started doing all this stuff. And, you know, let's face it, tomorrow's opening day, and Steve-O knows if he's going with me, we're leaving at 9 o'clock, okay?
Hey, the game's at 3, you know.
Okay, now listen.
I know.
All right?
That's why DeWitt gave me an extra day of rest.
Okay, so... The playoff game we go to is at night. And I'm like, I'll be by to get you at 9. He's like, 9? What are you talking about, 9?
Oh,
and I'll
on.
Never forget. I'm thinking, what are you, crazy? We're going to get over there. We're going to have a great time. And I'll never forget. Do you remember this? We pull up. We start walking. It's like a ghost town. And I'm like, well, let's go over here. And we're walking
around.
It's a little cool.
9 for what? That time is 8 o'clock games.
Yeah, 7:15, 7:05, something like that.
I would love to see you guys out there. Hey, we got some campers outside the stadium.
Really?
Waiting for a lot of them, actually.
Were they like them last-minute ticket things that come in? Probably is my guess.
Well, campers, whatever. I mean, that's crazy, right? I mean,
yeah.
A tent or people that out? Just want to get in first. Hey, if you're not first, you're last.
Hey, they're going to Saturday, we need to get in. You guys need to get in, man, because they have these parade bobbleheads.
Mystery bobblehead, Dad.
Oh, I got my 4 tickets, and I'll be looking for an Ozzie Smith one. I'll go into collection.
So if I get one of Ozzie, we can trade, right?
Yes. You know what it's worth? It's worth ribs, steak, all that stuff he makes for you at your house. When
hey,
you
know, that steak and that burger, man. We got to go back to the burger. What the heck, man? We got to make it. Remember that burger that you made?
Yeah. You want the burger?
That's pretty tight, though. I mean, I've been looking for a burger like that, you know, around, but and at home. But I never, I don't remember having cheese and bacon in it, you know, and all that stuff.
Man. I'll take care of you, babe. I'll take care of you.
We got to do it.
We'll fix everything. It's all on the map. But you're going to have to drive the boat. You're going to have to let me know when you're available.
Yeah,
oh,
no, I know. You're sometimes so, my
you
mom.
You get in here, you get so busy.
My brother, you know, yeah. And, you know, they want to see me and hang out with me. So
that's easy stuff to do, man. Easy stuff. We'll invite listeners over if they want
to
come over.
We'll barbecue Polo out there.
Polo.
Benny.
Benny, yeah.
Benny's a good guy, man. He's a real good guy. Yes, I love Benny.
Now, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Looking forward to the season now that, you know, it looks like the weather's going to break. I got that last cold, head cold out of the way. I'm feeling rejuvenated. I'm ready to go. 6 months of this. Bring it on.
We're going to have a great season. I think this Cardinal team is great. I think, like, I follow up what you said last show, man. It's a division-winning team. I really believe it.
So let me ask you this. I don't want to get too, like, I don't want to break it down too much right now. We're six games in. Okay, we're all adults, kids, fans. We can read. We can see with our own eyes. I can go down the list and look at how guys are doing. We see things with our own eyes. I've seen already. Listen, not just the Cardinals. I've seen things this first week of the season that I just can't believe I'm seeing. Some of the errors by all the teams, dropped fly balls, and not just by Fowler. Let's be honest here. Okay?
No. It's been okay,
we're talking about all over. We're talking about guys that are really good defensive players making boneheaded plays. Okay, so I'm not going to get too crazy right now, but I am going to ask you guys. The only thing that I do want to ask you, because it did come up. I mean, it's only two, but that's two starts in a row where Miles Michaelis has looked nothing like he did last year. Not even, it's not like, I mean, not even the same dude.
He'll pick it up. I believe that in between Maddox and him, they'll go back. They're probably looking right now and checking out old videos and see how he's doing. They're comparing stuff. I think Michaelis will pick it up, and before you know it, he'll be back in shape. And I mean, that guy's nasty, man. I didn't know how nasty he was when he was with the Rangers and I had him as a coach. He just threw hard. You know, you had a curveball. I don't remember much of a changeup. But, man, this time he has a cutter, that ball cutting, fastball that cuts. And not only that, he has a cutter on top of that. That's a nasty curveball, a good change. I mean, the guy is nasty. So I don't worry about him right now. I mean, it's only two games. Obviously, we need him to pick it up, but I don't worry about him.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't get into the mechanics of it. Is he not bending his back? Is he not breathing through the right eyelid? But even Edmund said something on the show, last night during the game, as far as he had a pretty good spring training, and then right there at the end, there was like an inning or two or the last start, something blew up on him, and it seems like that's carried in, and I'm sure that's something that'll get fixed, but, you know, the rose goes to the front, Jim. That's all I got
to
say.
The rose goes to the front, yeah.
It's true, though.
Well, you very wonder. True. Yeah, and here's the thing. Like I said, I usually say, you know, I'll have a decent idea after a month. I think after a month, if you have any real concerns, truthfully, a couple weeks, once you've developed real concerns, if it's still continuing a couple, 2 to 3 to 4 weeks after your concerns, then that's a pattern, and that's a problem, especially if that pattern is negative. So we will see. And the thing is, and this is why I started the show with, and this is where we'll leave it before we go. This is why I said, I understand the theory, and it's 100% right. Every win in April counts the same as it does in September.
And that's what I like about our Cardinals. They give 150% every single day out. You guys have seen it.
So where I went with today and where I'll continue to go is, so you haven't played great at all, and you're 3-3. It's not like you're, 1-5.
There's good teams out there, 2-5.
Sure.
2-4.
Sure.
I mean, there's guys out there, the Red Sox, they can't afford to lose many games with the division they're in. The Dodgers, well, they're doing better, but they started off pretty bad too. I mean, there's a lot of good teams out there having to struggle, but 3-3 doesn't doesn't say much to me other than we got to keep fighting. We got to keep getting guys right. We got to get those four guys going. It's very, very important for the Cardinal Nation to have Ozuna right, Carpenter, DeJong, which, you know, he's been okay. Yachty, start picking it up here pretty soon. And all those guys, I mean, we need all those guys to make a run against those teams.
I will say this. I'm excited. That doesn't change. I mean, I've been to opening days where we've got our heart broke. You know, I've been there. Been there where we won games we shouldn't have won. Been at, you know, you and I have been at both World Series. The, you know, the one, you know, we, David Freese, Game 7. You know, we were there when Johnny Gomes homered off Seth Maness when all we needed was a ground ball. I mean, we've been there, right? We've seen it all.
But that has to be, if not the top moment of Cardinal Nation history, one of them.
I wasn't
at least
there.
Top two.
I wasn't there.
You didn't make it there?
I did not make Game 6.
Dang it. So
I'm the only
that's
one.
That's why I said it.
But I'm
the only one in St. Louis that was not there.
No, that's not true. That's not your claim to fame. Your claim to fame is not that you were the only one in St. Louis that wasn't at Game 6. Your claim to fame is you're the only one that wasn't at Game 6 that admits you weren't at Game 6. Because according to my recent calculations, I think the Cardinals say that their largest attended game is somewhere in that 47, 48,000 range.
Right.
According to my calculations, Game 6, 2011, there were approximately 786,000 people at Busch Stadium that night.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. I was a little frustrated. I went to Game 1, 2, 3, and 4, skipped on 5 down in Texas just because they couldn't clinch it. Once again, they lost. They went down frustrated. I didn't go. I didn't go with you. You took somebody
well,
else.
Well, no, here's what happened.
Game 6.
You ready for our story? Here's what happened.
Let's do
so
it.
Like we always do, we get our tickets, right? We're looking at it. I have a friend.
I usually have to drive like 3 hours away to get these tickets.
I have
for
a friend who has done a lot for me with another professional sports organization. Okay. He asked me if there's any way I can help his father get tickets, and he's old. It's no problem. Gave me the whole, I'm not sure how, you know, this may be his last opportunity. I said, I got to give him one game. I'll just tell you the truth. Guy's the traveling secretary for the Blackhawks. I mean, for years, I get treated like royalty if I go to a Blues, stay at the Four Seat, the whole bit, right? How do you say no? And I want to do this for him, right? You remember this? Do this for him and his father. So we look at it, and we decide that you got to go to Game 1, right? You got to. And you got to go to 2 because...
they're leaving.
What if you sweep? Or what? Yeah, right? Like, it could be the last game of Busch here, so you got to go to 2. Well, nothing beats winning the series in a Game 7, so you give up 6, right? So we give up 6.
And right. And the key was they could not win it on Game 6. The only thing they could do is tie it, go 3-3.
So we come back, and it's all like it worked out. Like we're sitting there going, man, we picked the right game. This is perfect. We've got Game 7. This is how we just got to win. It's going to get. And I'm not kidding you. So I get a phone call from one of my bosses, Debris, and says, hey, this is going to be a good phone call for you. You got anything going tomorrow? And I'm like, I mean, I got a lot of things going. What do you need me to do? And he's like, well, one of the buyers of one of the groups that you call on we're going to send him to Game 6 tomorrow, and he's got family coming in. So we're going to be so spread out that we want you to go with him, and that way you can take care of everything. I said, okay, I'll go. So they wind up being right down on the field, and I still say to this day, you know, I was like, hey, I called Steve Owens, kind of rubbing it. Yeah, I'm going tonight too, you know, just messing around. And then Game 6 happens, and I'll never forget.
That has to be the top moment, though.
Listen, if you can believe it, I thought of Steve-O. I laughed and laughed and laughed as I looked up and the light towers were swaying, and I couldn't talk to the guy next to me. And I always say the most amazing thing was this guy's son was in from out of town, and he was a younger guy, very young, you know, maybe 21, and he was so upset at everybody around us that was given up. And he was standing on his chair pleading with everybody not, we're going to do this. You guys are crazy. And I'm sitting there kind of going, okay, what have I gotten into here? And I mean to tell you,
when they won that game, he is standing on his chair with his hands up in the air, and everybody around is bowing to him. It was so fun. It was a great time.
That was awesome. It has to be the top moment in Cardinal history.
It was for me.
Hey, two times you have two strikes, one strike away, two times to win your World Series, in your first, because the Rangers first. Two times, and then they went up to another time, right?
Right.
So, and for the Cardinals keep battling it back, and win that game, it was, I mean, the way they did, Freeze and hitting that home run, I thought it was quite amazing, man. I think it is that has to be the number one, if not number two, top play in the history of the Cardinals.
I wasn't there. I'm still a little disgruntled on it. Hey, can I switch topics real quick? I think I text you guys.
Please do, because we're leaving.
I know.
I can smell the barbecue, and it's 30 minutes from us.
First and foremost,
okay.
I am off of instant replay now.
Oh, I saw your – what happened?
Guy slides into second base.
Oh, is this the steal safe in the Cardinal game?
No, it was on a different game. Remember, I've been at home watching nothing but Major League Baseball for the last 3 days. Slides – like, just comes over the bag just a little bit, right? Not through it, just like his right foot goes, you know, off the bag before the left foot hits, and there's a quarter-inch gap. He's safe all day long. Instant replay, call him out. I hate it.
I don't like any of that. I've been on record saying all this, Tebow.
I don't hate like instant replay. That. These guys are good. I watch it, you know, if you watch that K-Zone or whatever, these home plate umpires, I mean, pitches that you would look at and say, man, that's the exact same spot. It's an inch or two. These guys are amazing. Let's narrow down instant replay to maybe the home run, things that they aren't on top of, okay? I mean, you got a guy standing 3 foot away from a bag on a tag on a stolen base. He's either, you know, I mean, let him make the call.
I don't like instant replay.
Yeah, I think it's getting pretty ridiculous. And, you know, I've been saying this to you guys for a while. It's not that I hate the game of baseball. I love it, and I love watching it. It's just that I can't, you know, every single play. Okay, replay. Oh, every single time. Oh, yeah, just do this. I'm like, no, I can watch that.
Am I wrong?
How bad does it look that nobody breaks a double play anymore?
Well, it's awful. I can't stand it. I mean, like, let me tell you, the stuff that happened the other night in the Cubs game was ridiculous.
The second baseman is standing on the back. Like, I saw Colton Wong yesterday, I think it was, throwing a guy out on a double play. And he just threw there and stand up there. Like, nothing even was going to run him over or nothing. I mean, that is not baseball, man. Not for me, at least, you know? This is my opinion.
Well, here's the thing. That I can't believe Dansby Swanson made a big deal about that play the other night in the Cubs game. There was nothing. Like, if you can't slide like that into a bag on a double play ball, the next step now is if a ground ball's hit to an infielder and you're on first, you're out.
We're ghost runners. We're going ghost runners.
You're out.
They're trying to make this a video game, and it's not, man. I think it's very sad for the old school people, for the not people necessarily, but for the old school players. I think the game has gone the wrong way. I mean, you know, some of the things I understand, and I'm up for it. You know, some of the make the game a little quicker. I'm not up for the four balls that you don't throw. You can mess up the game throwing one of those four balls, you know.
Right.
Or things like that.
You know? Yeah, there's been some pretty cool moments with it, although I would say it is far and few between. And if you want to go by, well, the numbers, here we go, back to the numbers. But I'm going to tell you, and this is what I want to end with, because I think you brought up a great point. Am I wrong, Benji, that if we're going to call guys safe on stolen bases or tag plays where they're out by 3 feet because I try to just lay a tag down, if we're going to do tell you what I'm doing. From now on, when I catch it, I'm just going to dive at him and run into him to make sure I tag him.
Well, there's a bunch of plays that have happened that way. The guys are diving into the
Just looking at it last night going, if I'm Paul DeJong now moving forward, the second I catch it, I'm just going to fall forward into the guy. And then we're going to get guys hurt again.
Right. Uh-huh.
Stupid. Dumb, dumb, dumb. That's the stuff I can't stand. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If the defender makes a great play and it's a banger, you're out. Okay? If an infielder lollygags on a ball and you bust your ass down the line, you hustle into second base, you do something, guy takes his time, and it's a banger, you're safe. That's the way it used to be. That's the way it should be. Okay? I think, and I believe this, I think the strike zone, I'm not defending the umpires. I think their strike zone's ridiculously bad. But I will say this. I think it's gotten worse.
But it's how it makes the game better, because you knew that guy had a bigger zone. You know that guy has a small zone. You know what I mean? So
I think it's gotten worse since instant replay, because I think either there's resentment from them. I think there's, this is going to sound silly, but I think they're consciously like, is that a strike? Is it? I think they consciously are sitting back there going, did I get that one right? It's hard to do your job under that.
They're going
to
have a replay for a strikeout. They're going to go, okay, replay. I want to see if that's a strike or not.
I believe in my heart that we are not but a couple of years away from 1 to 2 players' challenges on strikes. I believe that.
That's going to be the worst.
Why not?
Day.
Why wouldn't you?
That would have been the worst.
That's the most logical next step.
People that think a bang, bang play at first, people that think that is more important than a strike call and an at bat, don't understand the game. A bad strike call changes an at bat drastically, which then can in turn impact the game.
And it changed the pitcher, not only the at bat. It changed the pitcher, because if you throw a ball six inches off the plate and all of a sudden you get a call, the pitcher is going to be feeling like, you know, awesome. It's going to be, oh, I got that, you know. And instead of being 3-0, it's 2-1 or something like that. And the counts go back to him and he's like, you never know. So it works. It works just a back call. It works both ways, man, on the strikes, you know.
Well, because I will say, I don't know, for a world, okay, for a world that lives in analytics, how you can't just go look at the numbers. And these are numbers, not one guy isolated. This is the whole game forever and ever. Go look at the way the batting average changes in the count.
You know what? The other day, I know we got to go, but the other day I was watching a game and Keith Hernandez was talking. They were showing the game on the Mets. I think that's what he does. And here comes this guy, and he's a third batter, and the guy's at second with nobody out. And the guy next to him said, hey, man, this is what a good chance to bunt. And he goes, not with my third batter, my fourth batter, or my fifth batter. It's not a good time. But that doesn't mean you got to get him over to third. You have to get him over to third. So that means my third batter, my fourth batter, my fifth batter have to aim the ball to the middle of the field, hard ground ball to the right side looking for a hit, and a line drive to the right field, you know, something like that. And then if he doesn't get a hit, at least he get the guy over. So the guy hit a really sharp ball to the second baseman, get the guy over. And the other guy was talking. He said something about analytics, right? He said, oh, the guys don't want to give up an out. And Keith Hernandez almost lost it. It's like, what do you mean giving up an out? You're giving up an out so that guy have a better chance to score. That's why the 7th, 8th, and 9th batter have to bunt on me. Because that's why a reason why you're 7, 8, or 9. That's the reason why you're hitting 210. So instead of trying to get a hit with man on second, nobody out, let me bunt you. Let the next guy get a fly ball or ground ball, high chopper or an air, and then we can score a run. See, that's out of these days, though.
Right, but that's a perfect example of what O'Neill did last night, right? He had a chance in sharp slider away, and you're just like, hey, just guide one over there towards it, and you're going to score a run. And sure enough, he got a big base hit, scored Bader. And that's what you're looking for, producing the runs. And the Cardinals have been the beneficiary of a lot of home runs being hit so far, I think unusually high for what we're used to. But as we start seeing these guys move runners over and hitting to the, you know, to the right side and playing baseball the right way, it gives you confidence, because when you get into those situations, those guys are used to handling the stick that way, you're going to score runs, and that's what you need.
And remember, Steve-O and Jimbo, when they do the shift, and we were talking about it, you know, the other day with Carpenter and stuff like that, it doesn't mean he has to bunt every time. It means, okay, I don't see the ball good on this guy. or I can pick it up pretty good. I mean, the breaking balls are awesome. I mean, it's great. I mean, it happens because we play so many games that we know we can who we can hit against and not. So if you have a chance and the guy's at second base or first base, try it. Try it. You're not going to hit less home runs because you hit a bomb. You know what I mean? But you're going to increase your chances to win that
day. For Carpenter, with Goldschmidt hitting behind him, he would wisen up. He would make a much better ball player if he were to lay down a couple and make those guys play him straight up. You know, where they can't full shift him. You've gotta keep guys over there, or he's going to keep laying it down. And then you got the big bopper behind him. What are you going to do? And that's exactly why you set that lineup that way. Yep. But he's got to start going to left side of the infield.
You cannot. I always get it because the agents now in days, and it's only at one, I think, that agent said that we're going to have to work on getting the shift out of here, out of baseball. It's ruined baseball. It's not ruined baseball.
There's an opportunity there.
Yeah. And also it tells that your player is not capable of hitting to all fields. It's not capable of hitting 300. You want him to hit 300 by moving the shift. Why not tell him go all off season and work on your opposite side the whole off season? And I bet you anything in the game when it happens, he'll be a better hitter. Because they're gonna have to switch that shift and all that stuff. But don't tell me we have to change that. Because if I have a guy 90% is to the right side and only 10% to the left side, why do I have to keep one guy on the left? You see what I'm saying? If 90%, I mean, this is ridiculous the way we're going, man. I mean, I don't like it one bit, but you know, I'm not involved in coaching. I'm not involved in hitting anymore or catching anymore. So I let him deal with it. I just don't like it, man.
Mm. Well, listen.
I believe in winning games, Steve-O.
Absolutely.
And if you're going to get that guy over on a bunt and that run can win my game today because you have Ozuna and Yadi behind it or something like that, you know, whoever. And he can get that guy over. We're up 1-0. They have to score 2. If we go up 2-0, they have to score 3. To beat us, and so on. So I really do believe that many occasions you don't have to bunt, but at least get the guy over. I believe that. If we want to win.
Take us home, Jimbo. It's barbecue time.
It's barbecue time. Yeah. I will say, let's end with this. What are you going to have today, Steve-O?
I'm going to go light plate, probably 2 slabs of ribs and some brisket. That'll be light for me.
That'll be light for me, too.
Yeah.
Three of them, 2.5. There take one go. Home.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm gonna have to eat light today. So, but I'll make it
Why
through.
Why do you have to eat light?
Ah, God, I gotta lose
Big
some
day
weight.
Tomorrow?
Big day tomorrow? Big day.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, and thanks to Adam Smokehouse. I know they're anxiously awaiting our arrival. We're ready to get out of here and go do that.
Jimbo, opening day, man. Go enjoy it.
Yeah,
go
it's going to be it. Great. We're looking forward to seeing everybody tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing about, like I said, a few 100,000 of our closest friends down there tomorrow. Meeting Mojo Kiss, Jack Russell, giving him his opening day tickets. Looking forward to that. Our intern Will joining us for opening day. Just our way of saying thank you to him. Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. Guys, seriously, check him out. Give him an opportunity for your business. Adam Smokehouse, going to go over there and tear it up on Watson Road. Patios, that's where we'll be tomorrow. Firing it up, getting it ready. Original party place for St. Louis Cardinal baseball fans everywhere. Actually, some of my friends from Gators Baseball Academy will be joining us tomorrow. I'm looking forward to hanging out with those guys as well. It's going to be a great day. Bottom line, great day to be a Cardinal fan in St. Louis. To learn more about us, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. Check out our blogs. At Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. Follow us. We'll follow you back if you're a Cardinal fan. Find us on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. Like our page. Find our pinned post. Get active on that one as well. Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. Lineup Media. Group.fm, thank you for your support. Home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform. Download it today. To all of our Facebook folks out there that we enjoy being a part of your groups, Nate McHenry, RallySquirrel.com, our old friend,
Looking forward to doing more stuff with you this season. Ron, Gino, Crash, the whole group over at Cards on Deck. I know we got some stuff cooking with you guys, and hopefully once we get past opening day, we can start really getting into the nitty-gritty of the season. To Chris Lawless at Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, nobody better. Love the guy. Appreciate everything he's done for us and the growth of our show. Linda and Vicky, Vicky was back on. The prayers have been answered. Vicky's feeling better. I'm assuming. I haven't talked to her myself, but thank goodness Vicky's back and doing what she loves, and that's moderating Cardinal baseball on her great Facebook pages, along with Linda, fans of Yadier Molina, which is obviously a favorite of ours. And, of course, I am a Cardinal fan. Yes, I am. St. Louis Cardinals crew, STL Cardinals, the Cardinal Freak, all the great Facebook pages out there, folks. Enjoy Cardinal baseball. Opening day in St. Louis tomorrow. It's a holiday. Tell your boss after you leave today that you'll see him on Monday, maybe. For all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat, let's go Birds!
Go Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.